And I've put it this way, when you put on spiritual 3D glasses, you begin to see who the enemy really is. You begin to see who God really is and how great our God is. You know, we were created to live in 3D. We were created to live in 3D. Bible says that you and I are spirit, soul, and body. If you are here today, that's true of all of us, spirit, soul, and body. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there's a spiritual part of you that will always remain void and empty. There'll be something that's lacking in your life until you come to know who God is. But if you read Genesis, it says that we were created, everything was good except one thing, when God saw that man was alone. We're human, we have a soul, we need each other. If you don't have someone in your life that's helping you to grow and you're helping them, you're finding out that there's a lack in you, because we were created spirit, soul, and body. Now, what's true there is also true for the family of God. Sometimes we're convinced that the church, the family of God, is all about adults. But the truth is, there are a lot of adolescents in the family of God. And another truth is that they're not just adults and adolescents, but there's little children in our midst as well. That's why we have chosen to focus our attention at least one day, and I'm considering doing it 2 days a year, but at least once a year, and this is the Sunday that we do this, to focus on family and include everyone. Include everyone. To focus. Now, that doesn't mean we don't emphasize family throughout the year, because throughout the year, we're always providing things for educating our kids. We believe that they are a present force in today's church, but also the hope for tomorrow's church as well. We do things like VBS, and we do various trainings, as you will hear at the end of the service, some of the things that we do. We are committed to emphasizing family, but today we want to focus on family. If you focus on just the spirit and you ignore the soul and the body, you're going to be unhealthy. If you focus on adults but you forget the kids and the adolescents, you're going to be unhealthy. So today we set this time aside. We want to welcome all of you who are visiting, as you've already noticed with the balloons and stuff. Someone said we need to do this all the time. So if you'll give a little bit towards that, maybe we will, because that costs a little bit. But we are focusing on family because God loves kids. God loves kids. Now, I'm talking to people who probably understand this, but do you know that the disciples didn't even understand that? In Matthew chapter 18, in Mark chapter 10, and Luke, I forget the actual text in Luke, but it says that when children came to Jesus, The disciples says, no, don't come because he's got more important things to do. And it says that Jesus became indignant. He got ticked off, in other words. He says, hey, bring the kids to me. Let me tell you something. If you don't approach me like a little kid, you're not even going to experience all that I have for you. Bring the little children to me. And so they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus blessed them. We're bringing our kids today into our service, and we believe that it will be a blessing to them and to you. And we have quite a few kids here, Clarence. I think that they want to shout out something to us. Would you come up and join me on the platform? I think they want to do that.
Bom dia, Koinia. Good morning, Koinia. Today's the day the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. Once again, today is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah! 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 As Pastor said, my name is Clarence Richards. I'm one of the teachers with Children Ministry. I teach 4th and 5th grade, and I also teach Breakout. Every Monday at 7 o'clock tonight, from 6 to 7:30, I teach Breakout. So I just want to welcome you today. And today we're going to do a shout out to God, because we serve a big, big God. And when we come into the house of God, we need to give him praise. We need to give him glory and honor, because he deserves it. So can we all stand up? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. The word says when the praises go up, God's blessing come down. So when you praise him, you raise him. Hallelujah. All right. So now we're going to say, I'm going to say what kind of God we serve. And
a big, big God.
Once again. All right. So are we ready? What kind of God do we serve? Now, when you say a big, big God, the last guy wants you to jump up, okay? So what kind of God do we serve?
A big, big God.
Okay, that was okay. That was okay. Well, we're going to get a little louder. Pretend we're at a football game and our favorite team scored. You're not going to say, you know? We get louder. So can we get a little louder? All right. What kind of God do we serve? All right, that was good. Let's do it one more time. What kind of God do we serve?
A
big, big God. Yes, yes. All right. Now we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to have everyone from 25 years on up to say what kind of God we serve, and everyone from 25 and lower say a big, big God. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. One, two, three. Let's do it one more time. One more time. One, two, three. What kind of God do we serve? Big, big God. Yes, thank you. And remember, we serve a big, big God. So there's nothing goes on in your life that God cannot take care of because he is that big. Okay, amen. Thank you.
Hey, I haven't seen him in 3D yet, though.
Oh,
didn't you hear the pastor? He said, we're created in 3D.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just one more time.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do one more time in 3D. What kind of God do we serve?
A big, big God.
All right. Hallelujah.
Give him a hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We love you. Thanks, Clarence. You may be seated. We do serve a big God. He's greater than any difficulty you'll be facing. He's greater than any problem. He's greater than any relationship that's falling apart. He is a great God. One of the lies of the enemy is that God really doesn't make a difference in our families. One of the lies the enemy tries to help us, cause us to buy into is God really doesn't make a difference in families. And you know, that seems right because when you look at the family units and you hear statistics like 92% of all the culture says, I believe in God, you say, well, God must not change anything because all these families have a lot of hell happening, very little heaven. But the truth is, there are a lot of professing Christians. They profess it. They draw near to God with their lips, but they aren't really following him with their hearts and their lives. The truth is, when a person really does profess that Jesus is Lord and follows him, obeys him, does what he says for them to do, he makes a tremendous difference. Don't believe the lie that says God doesn't change families. I want you to meet a couple of minutes, Robert and Luce. Come on up and join me, would you please? Luce and Robert are raising three children. Luce, you're right in the middle of studying to be a nurse and quite far along in that, and I know that that's been really stressing for you. Robert works at Lowe's, and I see him fairly frequently. Matter of fact, every time I go to Lowe's, I look for him and at least want to say hello. And a few weeks ago when I was on vacation, I went over there to pick some stuff up, and I ran into him, and we started talking, and I asked him where something was, and he told me. And then he said something to me that caught my attention. He said, this past year has been the best year of my life. Well, when someone tells you that, at least when they tell me that, I got to find out why. So I stopped, and we had probably a 15-minute conversation as to why that took place, and I was impressed. And I wanted you to hear kind of why. He hasn't always been a follower of God. As a matter of fact, your dad came to me after the first service, and his dad accepted the Lord 12 years ago. So Robert wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And since that conversion of his dad, who's been praying for Robert, Luz has known the Lord and been following him a little bit longer than Robert has. But he started crying because his prayers have been answered, turned. So give us kind of a bird's eye, flyby view of what life was like prior to Christ, and what was it that made this past year the greatest year of your life?
Well, my life was a mess. It was a wreck before. I mean, alcohol and drugs consumed my life. Me and my girlfriend at the time were living together, and we were just fighting all the time, and nothing was going right. We just decided, you know, we were lacking. You know, we're doing that lacking of what God had, you know, to give to us to fill us up, you know, to fill that hole that we had inside of us. And we started coming to church, and we felt God's presence, and we knew that this was the place to be. We changed our lives. We got married. You know, we just celebrated our anniversary, August 8th, and that's why it's been the best year of my life, you know, just growing with my wife and growing with our family, growing together in God is been incredible. It's been incredible.
When they came to me a little over a year ago, and they said, you know, we're living together, and there's something that we don't feel is right. I talked with Luz first, and then with Robert, and I'll tell you, there's something inside of me. There's no stones that I throw at people who are living outside of God's will. I don't have any stones. I've done my own thing. But when someone who's living outside of God's plan says, you know, we've been doing it our way, I'd like to do it God's way, there's something inside of me that says, all right. You know, they said, would you marry us? And I says, well, I'll do it this afternoon if you would like. So I love doing stuff like that, making things right. And Luz, from your viewpoint, has this guy changed in the last year?
Yes, he has changed incredibly. I mean, before I was thinking of running sometimes of the problems that we were having, and I'm sure a lot of people go through things, and we still do, but it's different now because I see just how God has changed him. There's nothing in me that says, oh, I wish Robert would read his Bible or do this or do that. You know, you just have to trust in God and know that he can turn things around in your life, and he has. I mean, he gave me the scripture, the Psalms 138 to hold on to. And he said, you know, I will fulfill the purpose in you. And he has. And he will continue his good work. And I've held on to that. And boy, God has been so faithful in our life and just with Robert in every way. I mean, it's not just on Sundays. It's morning prayer with our family. We get together in the car. We're always praising God and thanking him for everything. Our girls are growing up that way, and wow, I mean, there's just nothing I say that I need anymore. It's all thanks to the Lord.
So the next time the enemy comes and says God doesn't change families, let me tell you, when someone with their whole heart, they serve the Lord with their strength, their mind, they give surrender totally to him, remember this couple. God can change family lives. Did you want to say anything else? You're done. Done. Blessings. Thank you. I commend you guys for making that decision. God bless you. Debbie. I've asked Debbie, who just returned recently from our Brazil short-term missions team. How many went on that team? What was
19.
It? About 19 of you. And some phenomenal things happened. Some deliverances, salvations, people filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a gathering tonight at 6 o'clock, by the way, for any of you who would be able to make it. Many of you came out for the Ethiopia report a few weeks ago, and this is a tremendous time. And Debbie was a part of that team. Well, while down there, she had an opportunity to talk to literally hundreds of people, but parents specifically, and share with them some things that really helped them. And when I heard a few of the things shared with me, I thought this would be a good opportunity for her to share with you as parents and also involve the kids at times with the truth that has come to her. And so I'm going to invite you to take, I was going to say your liberty, but that we could be here to 1 o'clock. So take the next 20 minutes, okay? And
all right,
share
yeah.
with us, okay?
All right.
Thanks. Welcome her. Would
Set
you,
the
Debbie?
Clock. Good morning. As Pastor Tim said, we have been in a series of the lies that the enemy tries to tell us, and I want to uncover one for you today. You might be sitting there and being single or a grandparent, and your family is not here with you. Or maybe you're part of a military family, and your family's even in another state. But I want to tell you, that's a lie of the enemy if he's telling you your family's not here. Because an amazing thing happens when you become part of God's family. When you love and trust the Lord, you are adopted into this great big family called God's family. 1 John 3:1 tells us how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. That word lavished means pouring on us and on us. He pours us so much love that we, that's saying all of us, we should be called children of God. And I love the second sentence that says, and that's what we are. So look around today. We are family. This is a big family. So would you give your neighbor a high five and say, we're family? Both sides, both sides. If you would imagine with me today a huge relay race, a relay race of faith. Now, you know in a relay race, the goal is to run the sprint, pass the baton. The next person takes it, they run the sprint, they pass the baton. Well, now, I want you to imagine this race that the first person has the baton and they're running, and the next person is ready to receive it, and they just keep running. They just keep running, and they just keep running, and they just keep running. And the baton is never passed. Well, what happens is that runner becomes weary and tired and slows down and eventually stops and the race is over. That's exactly what will happen to our faith if we do not pass the baton on to our children and the next generation. And boys and girls, I want you to know that you are instrumental in God's kingdom of passing on the faith at your school, in your teams, in your homes, in your extended family. We are all called to pass on the baton of faith. Now, God consistently tells us in his word and reminds us to train our children in the way we should go. Now, a lie from the enemy, he'll come and say, you know what? Let them do their own thing. Give them freedom. Just encourage them. Boost up their self-esteem. Let them find their own way. They'll find their own moral compass. But no, that's not what the Lord tells us. He tells us to train them in his ways. Guide them and direct them in God's ways. Today I want you to look at a scripture with me. And if you've brought your Bible, please open it up to Deuteronomy 6. And if you haven't, we have some family members who are going to bring you a Bible. And if you do not have one at home, it's our gift to you today. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Do you notice that word that keeps being repeated there? Your. Our faith has to become our own, doesn't it? When we pass that baton, have you ever thought of when you're in that relay race, there's one point where two people are holding on to it. There's the giver and the receiver. But our faith is not ours until we make it our own. So God's telling us here, make it your own. It's a personal relationship with me. So to pass that on to someone, we have to own our faith, don't we? We have to know what we believe and be able to express what it is that God is doing in our life to others. Now that next verse says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts.
You know, when something is on your heart and more dear to you, you are more quick to share it with others, aren't you? Because it touches your heart. It moves you. It motivates you. And he wants these principles to be on our heart, that he guides and directs our life. The next says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. I'm exhausted just thinking about all that. That's saying 24/7, isn't it? It's not just one day a week on Sundays. Our God is not just a Sunday God, is he, family? He is a Monday through Sunday God, isn't he? And he's a 24/7 God. When we look at those sitting, walking, lying down, getting up, that's what we do in the compass of an entire day. So he's telling us to share with our children, share our faith, pass our faith on no matter what we're doing in a day. Each minute of the day, we should be saying, Jesus, he's my Lord, he's my Savior. Now for this next part, I've asked my cute husband to come up and help me. Joe, will you come on up? This is a symbol, and I wrote, serve God. And Joe's going to hold it, because if you read that next scripture, it says, tie them as symbols on your hands. Now, can you imagine? I'm not going to bind him up today and tie it on his hand, but I want to give you that visual picture of tying God's mighty word on our hands, showing our children and showing others. Now, it also says to bind them what? On your foreheads. Now, I'm not going to bind this on his forehead because his hair is looking so cute today. I don't want to mess it up. But this says love God. Now, if you saw someone walking down the street with this bound on their head and bound on their hands, would you take a second look? Would you, everybody? Definitely. But this is how God wants us to be. Well, Lord, I just don't understand that. Should I be putting this on my forehead? Really? He's saying, be bold in your faith. Be loud in your faith. When you get behind someone at the grocery store or the bank, and they have something written on their shirt, don't you start reading it? I do. I start reading it. They're really kind of telling us a lot about themselves and what is on their shirt, aren't they? So God is telling us every time our children or others look at us, we should be bold and we should be saying, love God, serve God. That's what he's telling us here. Thank you, honey. The next scripture says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Do you know what a difference it would make if all of us put a scripture on our bathroom mirror and read it every day? Read one before we have a meal together. Just one scripture. And this is what the enemy will say. That is one scripture. You need to read three chapters. That's nothing. Don't believe that lie from the enemy. Putting God's word in our children's heart, one verse a day, one verse a week, reading to them, what a difference it will make. Now, I know all of you will want to help your children learn Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doings, his actions. Children of it, and boys and girls, you know this. If I ask you, who would help you out at school? Who would share with you? Who would be kind to you at school? You'd be able to give me some children's names, wouldn't you? If I say, who were the bullies on the playground? You'd be able to tell me that too. Parents, it's so important that we establish in our children, they're going to be known by their actions. God's word tells us. How about be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10. We want our children to know that they have power in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you what the enemy will say. You don't have time to do this Bible reading, praying, devotions, and a class and all this. It's just too much. You've got work. You've got laundry. You've got dishes. You've got, there's the soccer practice, the football practice, the lessons in guitar, and maybe even piano and dance lessons. How are we going to get all this in? Well, that's the lie from the enemy. The Lord will show us opportunities. When we're in our car, we can pray with our children. How long does it take to pray with your child before they go to sleep at night? And maybe you don't have time to have a family meal 7 days a week, but maybe you have time for four. Maybe you have time to read one scripture to your child before they leave for school. God will show us those opportunities because he has already set in motion that we are to do this. And he's going to give us everything we need to accomplish it. You know, statistics tell us something very important, and you might have heard this before, but I want you to listen to it very carefully today. 80% of people that come to know the Lord as their Savior will do so between the ages of 4 and 14. 4 and 14. So God has given us a window of opportunity, hasn't he, church family? And it's up to us to take advantage of that window of opportunity. Now, I brought a friend with me today, and Pastor Tim, he went to Brazil also. Eli, come on out here. Eli traveled 15 hours in an airplane and 6 hours on a bus so he could talk with some children and learn about Jesus too, didn't you, Eli? Oh, I like your scarf, Eli. Your scarf from Brazil, huh? Yes. Now, Eli, first of all, I want to know, is it all right if I share with our church family? Eli, is it all right if I share with the church family? It is a big family, isn't it? But that's the great thing about God, Eli. Is it all right? Okay. Now, when Eli went to Brazil, he was learning with all the children that there's some stuff in our heart we need to take care of. Right, Eli? So Eli, he was so brave, he showed us what was in his heart. And I have to tell you, there was some lying, there was some cheating, there was some stealing, and there was even saying some bad words. And then something really strange, I didn't understand why Eli had this. He had soap, didn't you, Eli? He had a bar of soap in there with all this. Hey, Eli, what are you doing with a bar of soap in your heart with all this trash and sin? And he said, I've been trying to wash and wash and wash it, but it won't go away. And we were able to share with Eli, weren't we, Eli, that Jesus is the only one. The Bible says he can make our heart as white as snow, but we had to ask him to take all that stuff out, right, Eli? Not any bar of soap. So Eli was able to learn with the children, and then he could put God's love in his heart. Right, Eli? Now, Eli, we're back in the States, and you're probably back in Eagle School, right? Yeah, okay. So how's Eagle School going? Oh, Eli, how's Eagle School going? Oh, it's not going very well. Mariel, would you come and see what's in Eli's heart? Is that all right with you, Eli? All right, let's check out your heart. Let's see what's in there today, because it doesn't sound like Eagle School is going very well. Oh, thank you, Mariel. Oh, Eli, inside your heart, I kind of don't understand it. It's twine and a bunch of knots, great big knots. What are those doing there, Eli? Are you thinking about it? Oh, I'm so sorry, Eli. He has a lot of friends in Eagle School, and they're telling him to do one thing. His teacher's telling him to do another thing, and he's so confused, he's all tied up in knots. Eli, I'm so sorry you're tied up in knots. Do you know, Jesus will tell you which way to go, remember? Remember how you felt, Eli, when you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Ah, you do remember. I knew you would. You felt so good, huh? But then why aren't you doing what God wants you to do? He doesn't know what God wants him to do. Well, Eli, that's in God's word. I think we should put a little Bible in your heart and learn some scriptures and we'll pray. And that will make the difference, Eli. Eli, I'm sorry. Eli doesn't know how to read. How is he going to read the Bible for himself and put those promises of God in his heart? Eli, can I help you? May I be your special friend? And I'll read some of God's word to you and we'll pray together and we'll be buddies and we'll know exactly what to do when you're in Eagle School. How's that sound? I thought that sounded great. Mariel, would you put a Bible in his heart? That way he'll know that I'm going to meet with him and he's going to feel so grand to know exactly what he needs to do in the Lord. Oh, Eli, you're going to feel so much better now. Good job, Eli. Oh, it feels good to have God's word in our heart already, doesn't it? Thank you, Eli. Boy, Eli can help us all learn, can't he, friends? Not only that we need Jesus, but we need to pass it on, and our children need to know what is the right thing to do. I'm confused. The world's telling me one thing. Friends at school, what do I do, Mom and Dad? What do I do? And family, know that all the children here and on the streets and in children's ministry, we're called to minister to them. We're called to pray for them. How many times I've been at a store where I see children that are just broken and they're hurt and you can see it all over their face. And God's just telling me, just pray for them right now. That is such an instrumental part of ministering to children. Boys and girls, I want to tell you one quick story before I end. And it shows you, boys and girls, how powerful you are in God's kingdom. It was a little girl named Sarah. Sarah was 4 years old. And this reminds you, boys and girls, it's not just adults, it's not just mom and dads that need to pass on our faith. It's you. God has a plan for you. You are awesome. You are wonderful, boys and girls, but you are not awesome and wonderful because you get straight A's. Not because you can throw the football great. Not because when you look in the mirror, you're beautiful. You are awesome because you are God's creation. And he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for your life. Sarah, that four-year-old little girl, went with her family to the hospital because her papa was sick, very sick, and he was going to die. And the family was so sad because they knew papa didn't know the Lord as his Savior. And they went in and they said, "Papa, can we pray for you?" And papa said, "No." Papa didn't want to get prayed for, and he didn't want to hear about the Lord. But then little Sarah came, 4 years old, said, "Papa, can I pray for you?" And you know what papa said? "Yes, Sarah, you can pray for me." And papa gave his heart to the Lord right there. Now, Sarah didn't know about Jesus, didn't know the power of Jesus, didn't know about his love. Would she have been able to share? No. But boys and girls, whether you're at school, whether you're on a team, God is telling you to pass on your faith also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we serve a big, big God. We thank you that you are such a mighty and loving God that you would call all of us your children. So, Father, show us that we are a big family. Show us those opportunities, Lord, that you put people in our life to be bold in our faith and to pass it on, no matter what age we are. Father, we know it is your heart that not one should perish, that all would come into your kingdom, that the family would just grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So, Father, we thank you that you will not only show us up for those opportunities, but we will step out in boldness and in faith and share you with all we come in contact with. We give you the praise, and we say we love you, and we thank you, Lord, now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Miss Debbie. All right, kids, how we doing? Probably a better question is parents, how you doing? Have all the kids stand up for a second? All the kids. You guys got, how's the Wiggles going? You guys want to, if you need to shake out the Wiggles a little bit, you can. This is the time to do it. Get them out. Kids, give me a little shout. You guys could. I didn't hear one kid in here that was under 20. All right. We're coming to the end of the service. You guys have been so wonderful. Just take your seats for a second. We're going to just kind of wrap things up here, take a few moments to do that, do some business, let you know about some things that are going on. First thing we want to do is receive our offering. And so if you have brought tithes and offering today, this is for you. If you're a guest today, this is your first time. As we've already talked about, it's a little bit different today. Normally kids have classrooms to go to and things like that. But if you are our guest, we would love just to connect with you. And there's a gift that we have for you at guest services after service today. Just go right to the counter that's in the lobby. Let them know that it's your first time, and they'll give you some gifts and a welcome. And we're so glad that that you guys are here today. And want to let you know about a couple of things. Before I let you know about a couple of things, I think Sylvia is going to join me. Sylvia Gaston, who's our Children's Ministry Director. And we want to recognize those people that are involved in children's ministry, currently serving as teachers and teacher's assistants, and you're involved periodically, whether it be every other week or every month in the children's ministry right now. If that is you, would you please stand to your feet? We want to take a moment and say thank you. So teachers, teacher's assistants.
Junior high teachers,
breakout teachers, substitute teachers. Come on, stand up.
You guys are precious to us. You are investing in the next generation, in what our church will look like in 10 and 20 years. So please stay standing, yes, because we're going to pray over you. First of all, my heartfelt thanks, this church's heartfelt thanks, for the time that you put into the ministry that you're serving, for the love that you have for kids, for getting what we call that 30 seconds of Jesus into them on a Sunday. And from the bottom of our hearts, you have no idea how much we appreciate what you do. We know you sacrifice sitting in service with your family sometimes to work with these kids, and it does not go unnoticed. It doesn't go unnoticed to us, and it certainly doesn't go unnoticed to him. So, church, if you will extend your hands to those teachers around you, and we're just going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every leader here that has your heart for kids. We thank you for the sacrifices they make. We thank you for the blessings that they get in return for leading little ones, Lord, for showing them your love, for just speaking the name Jesus over them in the nursery, for answering tough questions in fifth grade and junior high, Lord God. We ask that you would continue to ignite that passion, to keep that flame growing in them. We ask that you anoint them for the work that you have for them, that they know without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this is the purpose for their lives, and these are the ones that are crossing their paths that you have put before them. Lord, we ask that you just bless them and bless their families for the work that they do, and just continue to keep them safe, their family safe, and each child that they minister to. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Let's thank them one more time.
Thank you guys.
Of course, there are teachers even now in about three classrooms, the 0 to 3-year-olds, yes, that are not able to be recognized. So
tell them thank you.
Yes, tell them thank you when you pick up your kids. A couple of other things. Crossroads Pregnancy Center, their annual Walk for Life is coming up. Walk for Life is a wonderful way for you as an individual or as a family to sponsor them, to help sponsor them, raise money for them. They are at work continuously in our community, is particularly with young ladies that have found themselves pregnant and they're not sure what to do with the pregnancy, and they just come alongside, encourage them, and help them in so many different ways. And so if you're looking for something wonderful to do with your family, September 18th is the Walk for Life. You raise some funds, you get someone to sponsor you so much for every lap that you make, and you can find out more information. Call our office, call Crossroads Pregnancy Center, and you get plugged into that. Also, we've got a seminar that's coming up called the Emerging Leader Summit. We do it every year. It's our leadership conference, September 10th and 11th. And it's happening. It's for all the leaders in the church and anyone that is interested in leadership in Koinonia. And it's going to be an excellent, excellent event. You don't want to miss it. and we take ourselves very seriously around here, obviously. That tells you everything you need to know about the Emerging Leader Conference. This year, our theme is synergy, and we're talking about how we're better together and how when we combine with other people who also love God, the results can be more powerful. They are more powerful than they can be just, it's not just one plus one. We're talking about multiplication and exponential increase in God's kingdom. So September 10th, 11th, register today. You can register next weekend. That's the deadline kind of next weekend to register. If you do pre-register by next weekend, you get a free lunch that day, and then you also get entered into a drawing for a free iPod Touch. You have to come to the conference, right, in order to receive it.
You can't just register and not come.
You can register today at Guest Services or next week. Let us know that you're going to be there. Breakout is coming up for kids.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Tim alluded earlier in the service to some of the things that we do here at the church for kids, because we value their spiritual development. We want to partner with parents. You are their spiritual leaders. And we have a great program called Breakout, and it's a small group weekly program for kids to enter into year one, that your child has to be between third and sixth grade. And then it continues. It's a four-year program, but you just think about year one first. And those of you who are already in the program, you can register your child either online or today for their next year. We meet on Monday nights, 6 to 7:30. The classrooms are about 8 to 12 kids, and they have two or three adult leaders that are with them. And they learn really great foundational truths. It's for the child who's ready for a little bit more than Sunday school. They learn things like about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What is sin? About the Bible, about the purpose for their life. And each truth kind of builds upon one another. So it runs through the school year. We start September 13th and we end April 12th. It's a phenomenal program. I take no credit for it. God planted that here, and we're seeing great things. We had over 50 kids involved in it last year, and 14 to 15 leaders guiding those small groups. So it's Monday nights. So if this is something that your child is ready to do, I will be meeting with parents in the Great Room, which is right behind Guest Services, immediately after this service to answer any questions or even to go ahead and take your registration at that time.
That's a great thing, parents, to get your kids involved in. So let me encourage you to do that.
And it's not, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought one more thing. It's not just another class, because that was, my kids are in it, and they have a lot of homework. They didn't need more school. They didn't need another Sunday school. We try to make it really fun. Every fourth week is a review week, and we play like Jeopardy games, that things that they've learned the past 3 weeks, and we have dress-up nights and pizza parties on those nights. So it's fun, and more than 90% of the kids come back the next year because they really enjoy it, and they're really building a spiritual foundation.
Yeah, awesome. One more thing I want to let you know about. Our devotionals are in the word for today, I think is what they're called. Is that right? Do we have a slide? Yeah, the word for you today, devotional. If you've been reading along, they're available. They came in because they're about to end at the end of August, and so you can pick those up today. They make great gifts, great way to for a daily devotional. If you have been following along, you can grab it. If you haven't, you can always plug in at any time. And since we're talking about devotionals, and we love to resource you as parents and as families, want to let you know about a couple of resources that we have at the Media Center today that we've got in. This one is a family devotional from Josh McDowell, and it has a devotion for your family for every day. They're short devotionals. They have a scripture verse. They have things to do, to discuss, and things to pray. It'd take 15 minutes to do this with your family. It's a great tool for you to get with your family and work in the principles of God's Word in your daily life. This is the five love languages of children. There's also the five love languages of teenagers. I noted that these sold very well after the first service. The ones for teenagers didn't sell very well. So I'm not sure if that's because parents of teenagers have sort of given up already. But let me encourage you, if you have a child or if you have a preteen, if you've already given up on your teenagers, but you have preteens, the one for teenagers is really good. This will help you understand how your child is wired and made up, how they receive love and how they give love. And sometimes as a parent, we can give love and receive love in a different way than our kids, and we are trying to build them, and we're trying to speak, but it's like sometimes we don't connect. This will help you do that, parents. And actually, if you've got teens, you really want to probably get that other one for teenagers as well. This is a beginner's Bible. If your child doesn't have a little Bible as a young person, this is a great starter Bible. And so there's many other resources, parenting books. Kid CEO is a wonderful parenting book, and there's lots of other resources out there. So let me just encourage you to check those out on your way out. Always good as a parent to continue to invest in yourself, pour into yourself as a parent, because sometimes we just run out. And if you just, sometimes a little nugget out of a book, one little phrase, one little tweak in the way that you do parenting can make a huge difference in your family life. And so let me encourage you to continue to invest in that way. Okay, we're coming to the end of our time together, but we want to end with a time of prayer. And a time of blessing in particular for families. And so what we'd like to do is pray for different segments of the families. And so first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask all the kids in the house to stand up. If you are sort of kindergarten all the way through, let's say, fifth grade. Through fifth grade.
You guys have done great today, by the way.
And is Renee Solis in here? Or if he's not, if maybe you could grab him and have him come in. So young kids all the way to fifth grade, if you would stand up, guys. We're going to pray for you. And parents, I'm going to ask Sylvie to pray a prayer of blessing over your kids, that they would pay attention this year to you and in their classes, that they would excel, that they would increase in favor with people and with God, that have open ears from Him and all those types of things. And as she prays, maybe you just put your hands on your kids' shoulders or over their head. And if you don't have a kid with you, just kind of extend your hands. If your kids or grandkids are not here, this prayer is for them as well. You just direct it towards the Father on their behalf.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for each child that's here and for those who aren't here, Lord. We thank you for your love of them. We pray that we would be someone that would invest in them. Lord, whether they're our own children, our neighbors, our friends' kids, someone here at the church, Lord, just allow us to pour into them, to teach them about you. We ask, Lord, that as they've begun their school year, you will keep them safe. You will put them in positions of opportunity to learn about you, to share love, to be loved. Father, we pray love on each child that's here. We pray that you would continue to grow them in a healthy way, both mentally and emotionally, socially and spiritually, Lord. We pray that you would keep them safe. Lord, wherever they go, we ask that you have a hedge of protection around them. It's so hard for them to leave our homes, but we have to have faith in you, God, and we do, that you care so much about them. It's hard as a parent to believe you love my child more than I do, but you do. And we trust you, Lord, with them. We ask that you would just bless each child that's here with good things in their life, that they would seek out and find the purpose that you have for them. We thank you for each of them as a blessing they are to their families and to this world. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Kids, if you'd be seated, if all the junior hires and high schoolers, if you guys would stand up, all junior high and high school kids, there's Pastor Renee. Have him pray a prayer of blessing over you guys, that God's face would be directed towards you this year, that you would hear his voice, that you would be able to walk through all the transitions in life with great ease, because teenagers are all about transitions and changes and all the adjustments, and you guys are going to have a good year this year. I believe that.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this this awesome generation of young people. Father, we pray that you would bring that blessing, that protection, that grace over them right now. Father, there is a big world out there. There is a vast sea of humanity that is trying to get in the minds and the hearts of our young people. I pray that you would just plant yourself in there. I pray that you would bring forth a spirit of just righteousness in their heart, that they would start to move forward in you, not necessarily always have the answers of God, but definitely have the questions and ask and want to know more about you and seek Jesus and seek the heart of God and seek the heart of and mind of everything that you are and what you are and how you work and what you want for their lives, Father God. Let them not settle for the ways of this world, but figure out and just seek constantly the ways of God. Lord, I know that you have a blessing and a plan for each and single one of them. And I know it's going to be an amazing, amazing work. I pray that you would lift them up now. Lord, I pray for wisdom in their hearts and wisdom in their parents. Lord, we lift up the parents to you today, that they would guide in an amazing a way that you know that they should go, that they would reprimand and they would bring just correction in a loving, godly way. Jesus, I pray that this generation would not see their parents or despise in any way their direction, but they would have wisdom and honor their family and honor their parents, honor their elders, and they would start to grab a hold of the ways of God like never before. Jesus, we thank you for who they are and that they are going to be the next people to rise up and shout your name to their kids, Jesus. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now all the parents, or if you're a grandparent and you're raising kids, would you stand up? All the parents, you got kids in your house. If your kids are gone, it's too late, right? But no. All the parents, just want to pray pray a blessing over you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you because parenthood is a great responsibility that you've given to us. But it's also one that's many times overwhelming. And so I pray, Lord, for every parent that is here today, that a spirit of wisdom would descend upon each and every one, that they would know, Lord Jesus, how to walk, they would understand how their kids are created and made, that they'd be able to have insight into what is going on in their children's lives. Lord, that they would have interpretation skills to be able to understand what their kids are saying to them. That there would be an open line to heaven, Lord, that when they open their mouth, they would be speaking from your throne, not just out of their earthly wisdom, but out of heavenly wisdom. I pray, God, that you would give them great love that would flow out of your heart into their hearts, that their children would be able to receive the love that you have from their parents, that they'd be able to embrace their kids, to forgive their kids, not to carry bitterness, but rather that they would be able to walk with forgiveness and love at all times, that grace would be upon them, Lord Jesus, when their energy is sapped, when they don't know if they can make it one more minute or one more day, Lord, that your spirit would come alongside of them and give them everything that they need for this difficult job that is parenting. I thank you, God, that they are equipped because they have you, that they are able because they have your spirit. And Lord, I pray that they would raise up a godly generation who would know you, would follow you, would seek after you. They would always be pointing to you, Lord, even though we fail and we know we fail, that they would know how to direct their kids not to themselves, but to you at all times. I pray these things in the Father's mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Everyone stand up and let me just dismiss you in this way. Let me just speak a blessing over you from Ephesians chapter 3, a blessing that Paul spoke to the Ephesian church and one that I think that's appropriate for you as a family member, as part of your family. And it just simply says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." And our families are formed in heaven. The Father sees them, and he is the one that has stamped his name over our family. I don't know what other names other people have tried to put over your family. Let me just tell you, the Father God over your family says, blessed. He says over your family that this family is going to have increase. It's going to have my presence. It's going to have my goodness over it. It says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all measure of all the fullness of God, that your family would be filled with his presence this year, that your family would be filled with his wisdom, that your family would be filled with peace, that there would be no worry or anxiety in your houses, there would be no calamity at your doorstep, there would be no disease or sickness, but that you would be filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. All the church said, amen. Love you guys. Go with God. There's some bounce houses outside. We're going to let these balloons go here in a few moments. We're going to take them out there. You guys have a great day with your families, and we will see you next week.